Blog Talk Radio.
Evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Personal Transformation, a show for survivors of childhood sexual abuse. I don't know much more of a show, but it's more of information and support for other survivors out there. And I'm grateful to be here. I wasn't here last week, and I'm only too grateful to be back here today. So hopefully I have no technical issues. And so basically all I'm going to be talking about tonight is just basically I'll be talking about what we do here at the Gatehouse to a little bit more in depth. And, I don't know, I'll find a few other things to talk about as well. But I just wanted to let you know that I'm still here. I missed last week just because of my work schedule, and I could not be here, but I'm really happy to be here. I'm at the Gatehouse here at 3101 Lakeshore Boulevard West in Toronto, or Old Etobicoke, as I always say. And we have a full house here tonight, and there's lots going on, and I am really, really grateful that I'm here and I'm talking about what I'm talking about, which is sexual abuse, recovery. It's all about self-help here, and I'll be talking basically lots about our program, and that's basically what I'm going to be talking about tonight, is about our programs. So like I say, hopefully I have no technical difficulties, and it works through just fine. But I missed being here last week, and I'm only too happy to be here. So I think I'm broadcasting. I seem to be, so that's a good sign. And okay. Well, right off the hop. Okay, right off the hop. I got to say this. This is not. I'm not a therapist. I'm not a doctor or anything of the sort, as I've always professed in the past. I'm only simply offering peer support, as I've stated, and I'm offering my own affirmations and experiences, if you may, in regards to my healing experiences in regards to coming here at the Gatehouse. So it's very important that I pass this stuff on, just so other people out there know that they're not alone, for one thing, and also, too, that there is help, though it is sporadic here and there, and it's not all over the place. Granted, I'm broadcasting from Toronto. I know there is other cities in Canada and the U.S. and the U.K. that, for example, and even India. I might as well throw that into the hatch there now, too, because through multimedia, I've made connection with some people in India, and they're dealing with pretty much the same sort of issues and problems we have here. And if I must say so, too, we are starting to have a greater, larger population of the Indian Punjabi Hindu population coming into the house, and it should be recognized that too, because they are having some issues we have here in North America, over in Europe, all over the place. It's no different. It's good that they're coming out and they're talking about it now. It's just the same as we are here, and the more we talk about it, especially internationally, the awareness level becomes to an even greater level. If you know, think about it, and within saying that, you think about it like, wow, this is international. This is all over the world. People are tired. They don't want to be treated like this no more. And the ones that have been through this experience need support. And this is key. And this is what it's all about. Like me being here, whether it's here or multimedia, we're supportive of one another. And that's what we need, because there's lots of places. They don't have places like the Gatehouse, for example. And they need that kind of support, just to get them through until they get some kind of support, like on a more personal level, like I've gotten here. So, like I say, when I say I'm grateful to be here, I really am grateful to be here. I'm able to sit here and I talk about it. I carry no more shame anymore in regards to what I talk about. And I'm not really too concerned about what people think or don't think, because that, to me, that's not what it's about. I want people to be aware that this is a huge problem in society. And don't worry, I'm not going to get all political and crazy on you here right now, but I'm just trying to make a quick point. I just want people to be aware that this stuff happens and shouldn't, and I don't like using that word should, but we can't push it under the carpet anymore. It has to be brought up. It needs to be talked about on a much greater level. And if it means doing it through webcasting like I'm doing, or if it means that through multimedia, such as through Facebook, Twitter, for example, it's just another way of bringing awareness to a whole new level, basically. And it's just like my drive that I've been doing on Twitter for the last year and a bit. You know, I've been pushing this issue big time. And I've met lots of really, really great people internationally from all over the place. And it's phenomenal the amount of support that's on there, because a lot of people just don't have any kind of support. And they can't get therapy of any kind, whether it's at a peer level or even from a psychologist, because they just don't have the experience. And if they do it, experience is minimal. And, you know, I'm not going to get into which is better or which is worse. You know, as far as I'm concerned, if you get if you can get any kind of support at whatever level and empathy to what you're dealing with, to me is conducive to what you're trying to accomplish for yourself. And what I mean by that also is that you got to find some sort of healing, you know, some way to get you through these days and nights of terror that you might be going through with yourself. And I really have lots of experience with that as far as that's concerned. My terror, my own terror that I've had to go through all these years of having to live with this, living with this this thing that happened to me, and it's, you know, it's been a living hell. And now I've been through that hell. I've came here and I've gotten some help, and I'm not the same person anymore. I found the new me, which I've talked about. I'm still discovering the new me, but I'm not the person that I was. Yes, I'm Stuart, but I'm not in the same frame of mind that I used to be. I'm much more, well, I was always an easygoing person, but not to the level that I am now. I just, you know, I have that, how would you say it? I'm just trying to think of a good way of phrasing it. I just let a whole bunch of things go, and it doesn't own me anymore. Like, I talk about my anger, and I talk about the shame, for example. Like, it held me back for so many things for so many years. It's incredible. And anybody been through this type of experience or any type of trauma, it doesn't have to be childhood sexual abuse, but you've been through trauma and of some sort, and I'm not being specific, but of any kind, where it's really got a hold of you, whether it's from a very young age or even into your midlife or whoever you are, it does really crazy things to you. It changes your whole perception of people, reality, basically, what your so-called core beliefs are, whether it be towards yourself, towards other people. It changes an awful lot of things about you that most people don't understand. Like, for example, like for myself, like trust. Okay, I'll throw that one out. That always comes up in topic. Trust is a huge thing. Where for example, a lot of us survivors will do, and again, it's not just falling back to survivors of childhood sexual abuse, but trauma survivors of all sorts, whether you're a soldier, a foot soldier, that is, or you've been through domestic violence. I'm just giving you some examples. And just so you'll understand that when you've been through this type of trauma, and people don't get what it does to you. Like I talked about I talked about trust and how a person will isolate themselves, and where they won't, they disassociate with family and friends, and they don't want that because they don't trust people, right? After what happened to them, and understandably so. So it's very, very complicated in a lot of ways. The average person that has not been through that, well, hopefully they have empathy, but there is a certain level of understanding that needs to be gotten when you're dealing with somebody like this, that somebody's been through this experience. And it's just not that simple. You know, someone who's, whether it be a child or an adult, whatever you're coming from, and I don't want to be specific in regards to just child abuse. I want to talk about all of them, because when you go through trauma and you end up getting post-traumatic stress from it, from wherever you're coming from, it has detrimental effects on how you view society, including your own closest people. I'm talking about whether it be your family, your family, friends, everything. I mean, there's a whole lot to consider. What I mean by a whole lot to consider, like I've been saying, we do some, like, flashbacks we get, and we nightmares, and therefore, you know, we sometimes, well, we just have a hard time. And I know myself, I'm still suffering from post-traumatic stress. Excuse me, not to any levels that I was before, only because I've dealt with my issues at a much greater level than I ever thought possible. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea that that I was going to be where I am now. That's what I wanted, but the fact that I'm able to talk about it and to be very upfront about it at any level, to me, is a big, huge thing. I've stated this before. Yes, I have flashbacks daily. My nightmares are nowhere near as bad as they used to be, only because I've dealt with this problem for quite a while now. And like I said, I don't carry any shame no more, and I certainly don't carry the anger that I used to carry. Yes, I have some anger that's still there. I'd be lying to say that I didn't, but it's nothing like it used to be, where it basically had such a control of me. It had a hold on me at a level like it was incredible. Like something very simple happening, something very simple could trigger me off, and then here I go, I'm gone. You know, I'd run away, basically. That was one of the traits I would do. I would run away, whatever fashion that may be. Run away, or I would resort to some sort of finding a way to kill my inner pain. And I'm sure lots of you out there that are listening would totally understand what I'm talking about. You would find any way, it's what we call around here a coping mechanism, whether you resort to drugs or alcohol or whatever your fancy is, any way to numb your pain. And we're talking about addictions now. Well, I mean, it could follow, addiction is another topic altogether, but I mean, it's a coping mechanism. We're not going to get to talking about addictions. I'm talking about what we do and how we cope. And that's what we do. We find a way to cope, and it's a number of pain. And drugs and alcohol is one way. Sex addiction, for another example. Just anything to numb the pain. I'm giving you extreme examples of what we could do, what I've done myself in regards to how do I cope with this pain? How do I deal with this? And that was always my scapegoat, I should say. And now I've learned that, okay, well, Stu, you don't have to do that anymore. It's not necessary. I've faced this head on in more ways than I even expected to be doing, like sitting here right now, even talking about it. And now I facilitate at a peer level, of course. And I do lots of other things around here. And I'm really, really grateful that they've given me this opportunity, because I'm just, I just love shooting my mouth off about this. And that's a little harsh the way I'm putting it, but that's basically what I'm doing. I'm talking about it, and I'll talk about it to whatever level so you can understand where I'm coming from. And so you know that you are not alone. And there's tons of us out there that have gone through this. I mean, tons, and I mean, thousands of people. Like, I can't believe I'm even saying that. There's thousands of us that have been through this. Thousands and thousands of us. I'm talking about just here in Canada. Never mind abroad, right? And I just can't take it anymore. I want to do whatever I can to show you that, well, you may not be willing to talk about it yet, but I'm willing to talk about it. And maybe by me talking about it, you may give you enough nerve to want to do the same thing, and to face this head on as to the level that I have. So when I talk about it, I'm hoping that I can give you some kind of hope, some kind of encouragement, that you can go seek somebody that maybe you can talk about this. Because having to bury this, like I buried this for literally freaking almost 50 years. Like, that's a long time. I've met other people, same thing, 50 years. I've even met some women and some men have held this for 60 years. That's a long time. 40 years, 30 years, 20 years. And it's really hard to see the youth come into this house. You see 21, 20, 20-year-olds coming in that are brave enough to come up these stairs, which I've always talked about, and actually deal with this at the level we do here. That is just totally incredible. Blows my mind away how people can come in here and put total trust on total strangers, and to talk about what happened to them as a child, or even as an adult, for the fact, because we do get domestic violence, survivors of domestic violence as well, both men and women coming in here as well. It's very, very disheartening, and it's very hard to talk about, obviously, but nevertheless, they come up those stairs, and they come in here, and they talk about it. They throw it all on the table. And granted, not everybody talks right away. Some people just want to get it off and tell somebody, because when I told someone the first time about what happened to me, It was talk about a load, taking a 100-pound knapsack off my back, and the incredible relief I felt when I talked about it for the. And I think I've even mentioned this before that first time I ever, I've told past, I think I've told a total of two girlfriends in the past, and neither one of them were very receptive to what I'm talking about. One of them I knew was a survivor, and the other one, I'm not too sure yet, but regardless, I did tell them, but there was little or no, empathy or understanding there whatsoever at all. Basically, it was brought up, and to me, as far as I'm concerned, I might as well just kept it to myself because they didn't get it. And you know what? I can't expect people to get that kind of stuff. You know, really, you think about it. You know, it's one of these topics that's still swept under the carpet. Nobody's willing to talk about it, but that's starting to change. It is. It's starting to change in such enormous ways. Be it through multimedia, like what I'm doing, Twitter, Facebook, for example. Tons of people coming out talking about this. And to me, this is just the beginning as far as I'm concerned. I thought this year, I knew there was going to be a shift this year. And as far as I'm concerned, there was, because I know the level of awareness is far greater than it was last year. Especially the way not just myself, but many, many others have been doing the exact same thing I have, making people aware that this is going on. And basically, we're fed up and we don't want to, we're not taking it anymore. And we want just some kind of help is basically what we're after. That's all we're after. We're not after, whatever else may be coming into your head. But we just want help, because a lot of places there's no help out there. Okay, I've talked enough about that, but now I think I'm going to talk about the programs a little bit. I'm not going to be on here for a whole long time tonight. I just wanted to touch base, let you know that I'm still here. I'm gone away. I'm working on some guests. One of the guests I'm trying to get in here, I'm trying to get somebody in here from the Toronto Police Department, and I want to talk about what they do, the process of whether you're for somebody who's been through rape or a child has been abused, and I want to talk to some of the police officers, two or one, it doesn't really matter. And I want to talk about the process, what they have to go through, everything from when you make the complaint, go right to the police department and you follow your complaint, the process behind that, to the next process of going and bringing it to, then they bring it to the prosecution, and then they determine whether they have a case or not. And then if the prosecutor determines that they've got some kind of grounds for charges, then I want to go to the next step and talk about that, what's involved there. I want to talk about where they come into or how far the police will go in regards to supporting you as the victim. And I hate using that word victim, but that's basically what it is when you go through that process. I want to go through each step with talking with a police officer in regards to that. And this is not and this interview I want to do with somebody, which I will get. I just have to have all my questions ready in hand, and they have to approve my questions, which is fine, because it's all going to be very structured, excuse me, in regards to the process of charging somebody and through the system, right from when you go in and lay your complaint, through the prosecution, through the period of any investigation that's being done, right down to when you're in court or you're not in court, your lawyer or whatever, through the process there, and from after there, if there is any kind of conviction, then the process of that individual going into incarceration. I want to cover A to Z, basically, and all that. And I think the public needs just a better understanding. And I'm hoping I get somebody really, really who's not too who's very comfortable talking about it, and that will take us through this process just so they understand. So it'll probably be about an hour, hour and a half interview. And hopefully we can get some insight and experiences on top of that. I really would appreciate it. I know you would as well. Just so you get a better understanding of the process. And I know here in Canada, we have, in Toronto anyway, we have victim services. I even want to talk about victim services as well, and where victim services will come in and help you as a victim help you with the charges and all that sort of stuff. The whole, basically, like I say, A to Z. And we need to discover this so you have an understanding. And another thing I like to do after I'm done that, I'd like to get a lawyer in here, and actually I have one in mind, but I need to talk with this lady, and ask her if she'll come in and she'll talk with us. Again, it'll be about the procedure of going to court, and you know, tell us about, you know, how long it could take or couldn't take, and then the thoughts and feelings of this lawyer in particular. I'm really anxious to get in here, and we're going to talk about it. So again, that'll be like another hour and a half interview, which I'm sure you will find very, very helpful, especially if you're here in Canada, because we're going to be talking about Canadian law. We're also going to be talking this person is Canadian as well. So we'll be talking about our judicial system, how it works, and to as a great level as they're willing to tell us. So hopefully we'll get some good insight. And if you're listening, you will get, at least if you decide you want to charge the individual, if you've been through this type of experience, you'll have some great insight and some knowledge. And it sometimes we don't all have internet access. So this would be great. If you don't have, or, you know, if you have minimal resources, depends where you live. There's all kinds of factors, but just overall as a whole, I'm talking about just getting the information so you can think about it and decide, well, do I want to go through with this and go through the court system and basically get some kind of resolve for what happened to you in your past? And I think that would be very, very good information for anybody out there wanting to go through with this. So that's just some of the things that I've got coming up. And another thing I'm going to have to do, again, okay, I had Alex and I had Steve come in here, two different musicians and survivors and facilitators here at the Gatehouse. So what my goal is now is in November, I want to get the two of them in here together, and we're going to talk about stuff. They're going to perform. I'm hoping we can get them performing together is what I want to do. And we're going to talk about stuff that's going on around the Gatehouse. And we're also going to talk about more. I'm really, really curious because both these gentlemen that I've had here now are now facilitating. They're doing groups themselves now, and I'm really, 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 really grateful that they are, because they are really, really good human beings, really, really good men. They have lots to offer from their own experiences to what they're, you know, to what they were and to what they become. And I think that you out there will get something out of this in regards to the type of healing that these gentlemen have had to go through, as I've explained about myself and others I've had come in here. So to me, I think that would be really, really useful for them to come in here. Plus, we're going to get some entertainment out. I'm still bugging Deb to come in here with her guitar, do the same thing, which I'm hoping to get her to come in here by Christmas and do that. She's got a couple of songs out on YouTube and all related to sexual abuse, but I'm hoping to get her to come in here with a guitar and perform live as well, which I'm really, really hoping so before Christmas. And that's my goal anyway. But that's the kind of stuff I got coming up, and whatever else I can throw in there as well. So I think it's very important that I talk about this to whatever extent and whatever level that I can, just so you understand. Well, especially I was just talking about Canadian stuff now, but I also, by the new year, I want to dive in a little bit more internationally. I know I've always said I kind of want to concentrate on Canadian stuff, but you know what? This is too big for that. Way bigger than I ever anticipated to the level that I have. I've learned through just coming through learning through multimedia. I would like to do some interviews. I mean, I've already had a couple of interviews done to myself out of the U.S. and hoping to do a few more. Absolutely. Again, it's all about awareness. But I want to try to interview some people from the States myself through the program and through Blog Talk Radio and Personal Transformation. And I thank God for Skype and things like that, so we can communicate, or even the bloody phone for all that matters. But nevertheless, I really would like to interview some people in the UK. I mean, by UK, I'm talking about London or England, actually, London, England, or thereabouts, one of the centers. There's a lot of survivors there, and there's plenty of support there, too. And there's a couple of centers there. I can't think of what they are off the top of my head, but I will mention them as time comes on. And they do very much the similar type of peer support that we do here at the Gatehouse. And I'm so, so anxious and would look forward to talking with someone from one of those organizations, just to give you an idea that, yeah, when I say we're not alone, we're not alone. And I'm not just talking about here in Canada, I'm talking about abroad. And that would be a great example to hear some of the trials and tribulations that they have to go through in their own healing process in another country. Granted, a lot of their feelings and thoughts are no different than ours, but their processes in regards to whether prosecution is involved, their laws are different. There's all kinds of different variables, but basically their pain than ours, And I want you to understand at a much greater level that, yes, you're not alone. And when I mean you're not alone, you're not alone, because it's all over. It's everywhere. It's international. Just like my friends I've talked about, I've met from India now. And it's great, because there's a great movement going over there. You're talking about India, which is the second largest population in the world, next to China. And I don't remember how many billion people there is, or something like that. I'm talking way off the top of my tongue here now, but I know it's the second largest world population in the world, next to China. And it's amazing the work I've seen going on down there. And I love to talk to somebody from India as well, knowing what they do there for their own people, and at a peer level as well. Granted, they have psychologists and psychologists there, no different than here. They have therapists, no different than here. It's just a different country. And the methodology, as I'm sure, is very similar to what we do here and abroad. And nevertheless, I think it would be great education and understanding what they may do in regards to their own self-healing. So that is kind of what I've got on the go for between now and even in the new year. So it's going to be an exciting new year. There's lots of stuff going on. As I've told you 2 weeks ago when I was here, I finished the assist trainer training program as of December. I know Brad and I are going to do a first group, which I'm really, really looking forward to, which will be it'll be the first week of December or the second week of December. We're going to take a Saturday and Sunday, and we're going to train probably 15 to 20 people from our The Gatehouse, and they will be facilitators. I think there might be some people outside the house. I'm not too sure. I doubt it. Probably just people inside the house. And we will be calling on somebody from Assist. Actually, we're going to have a little bit of help just to make sure we're on track, because this will be our first group. And after our training, we haven't done a group. So obviously, we want to make sure that we're doing the right things and saying the right things so that everybody gets what they what they're there for. And that's to learn about the Assist. And that's a two-day course. And, well, I've done it two times now, plus the training to train. So I got a pretty good idea what's going on now. And I can't give you all the secrets in regards to that, because you'd have to come and find out for yourself. But what's involved with it, it's very similar to what I do here. But the only difference is there's a lot more role-playing involved in it. There's a really, really, and one thing is really the same, which really, right up my alley, is about listening. See, you got to listen. When someone's talking to you, you really need to listen to where they're coming from in order to, well, help maybe steer them in the right direction. Ideally, we can't tell them what to do, but we can steer them in the right direction. And the choice of whether they choose to go that direction is primarily theirs, but hopefully we can give them some different choices to make, and hopefully better choices, so that that individual will be here tomorrow to talk about it. But anyway, that's coming up as well, which is very, very important. And I'm really, really excited about that, because we're going to help a lot of people be prepared for the nasty. Pardon the way I put that, but that's what it is. It's a nasty, a very bad nasty as far as what a human, or rather what a person, would have to live through after that, somebody doing that to themselves. So it's not even a great topic. It's no different than talking about child abuse. It's a bad topic. Nobody's suicide. Well, the fact is, it's Suicide Prevention Month. Speaking of suicide, Suicide Prevention Week, depending where you're from, like if you're in Australia, for example, Suicide Prevention Week there. We just had it here not too long ago ourselves. But overall, Suicide Prevention Month. It's kind of a little hard to keep up with all of it in the in the media world. But nevertheless, it's all about awareness and talking about it. And that's what I'm here to talk about. Now, most people don't want to talk about suicide because the shame that goes behind it, especially if they know somebody or their family member. I've been through it. My brother did that exact same thing 37 years ago, which I've been more than open about. And it just doesn't sit well with me. I know people are in their own place, and at the end of the day, they're going to do what they want to do. But if you can help someone who's really in a dark place, and you can help them get out of that dark place and try to help them see, well, the so-called bright side, even though that doesn't seem possible, then to me, that's what it's all. That's where it's at. So, yeah, now I've talked about that as well. Now I think I'm going to jump into the programs that we have here at the Gatehouse. Like I've said not too long ago, this is not going to be a full 2-hour show tonight, or even an hour and a half show. It'll only be about an hour. But I wanted to just throw out some information, let you know that I'm here, And also, talk about the programs we have going here at the Gatehouse. We have a lot of programs, and a lot, and we have a couple of new programs which are going to be coming up. Which will be in the new year. I'm not too sure whether it's going to be here at the house, although some of it will be, not all of it. But I'll start from the beginning, and just so you can get a better understanding. So basically, we have a men's and a women's program, and the men's program, like the women's program, is just strictly men, and in the women's program, it's just strictly women. It's a 15-week program, 15, 16-week program, and we concentrate on getting, helping you to learn how to, well, if I am putting it in my words, but helping you realize and understand what happened to you at a much deeper level. Understand, help you understand why you feel like you do, why you, like, for example, why you feel bad about yourself, why you do things to kill your pain, and all, you know, the whole spectrum, basically, in regards to that. So you get 15 weeks, 16 weeks of that. And you have, if you're in the male, if you're a male, then you would be in a male group, obviously, and women, if you're in a women's group. So in a men's group, you'd have two male facilitators most of the time. Sometimes you'll only have one. Sometimes you'll even have three. You'll have two experienced facilitators, plus you will have a trainer, for example, that's never done it. So, for example, the manager of the house, whether it be Brad or Marina, they'll ask that third person to go in and sit through the course of the group, and just to get a feel of what it's like to be, as we say, on the other side of the fence. One thing is different when we facilitate. It's totally different than being a participant. And let me explain to a little deeper level. So basically, our role as a facilitator is to come in, and what we do is we throw out the seeds, if I can put it in that manner. What I mean by the seeds, we have a picture. Everything is all structured topics right from the word go. After we made our introductions, and that's when it begins. So I also must remind you, too, as well, when we come in here, it's all about confidentiality. So we ask you, when the individual or the participant coming into the house, we have them sign a form stating that anything they say and anybody else says basically stays in the house. And respect goes a long, long way here. You have to respect the rights of others. It's all about earning, or another, not all about earning, but all about learning to use your voice. And as a facilitator, this is what we're trying to show the participants when they come in. So if a facilitator, for example, talks, well, the idea is, what we always emphasize is that we tell our facilitators is that, yes, you do a little bit of talking, but it's not about you. It's about your participants. So if you have to throw an example of an experience of whatever topic you may be talking about, we always suggest to them that you don't make it long-winded. So in other words, with your five-minute conversation or a 10-minute conversation, turn it into a couple of minutes just so the individual gets the point that understands, too, that you've been through that experience. And, okay, hopefully set off a bell. And then that individual, that participant, will start talking about it at a much deeper level, provided they have some kind of connection and trust with one another. And if I may add also as well, over a period of time, I've learned from all the groups that I've done, whether it be a men's program or a co-ed program, trust is something we have to work on. We make our introductions when we first come into the group, get an idea, feel where we're coming from. And over a period of a couple of weeks or a few weeks, it is amazing, and I mean amazing, how quickly, or not quickly sometimes, we make a connection. And what I mean by connection is that we have a connection at such a deep level that we're able to share some very, very personal stuff that's happened to us, not just from our abuse, but from relationships and everything. And it's very, very, very honoring for me to even be able to sit here that they trust me well enough to even talk about this stuff. I'm very open about myself, and I always make it very clear that I am, but I also sometimes have to throw my own experiences in there just so the individual feels that, okay, well, as a facilitator, well, are you a survivor yourself or a non-survivor? And let me be quite clear. We do have some facilitators here that are not survivors, but that doesn't mean anything. They're very, very good at what they do. They have more empathy than you could ever possibly imagine, and they know how it works here at the house. The house is not your typical institution, as I may say. Like if you're to go, for example, like CAMH, for example, or a hospital, I'll even go to another city like Ottawa, like the Royal Ottawa Hospital, for example. Okay, you go in there, they have therapy programs for everything from addictions for helping you with your PTSD, like from trauma, for example. They got all kinds of different programs, but those are institutions. And I'm not saying this in a negative way, but that's what they are. They're structured to do things a certain way. They have psychologists, psychiatrists, and therapists running these places, which is fantastic. We need lots of it. But here, it's just strictly peer support, or another form of cognitive behavioral therapy. Hence, we are not therapists, but it's just a term that happens to just sort of float around. Because we never, as a facilitator, we never tell the person they should or shouldn't do anything. That is not our role to do that. Our role, as I stated even when I started my broadcast, is I am not a therapist or a doctor. I only offer my own experiences and hoping that you will get something out of that that may help you. Primarily, it is up to you. Remember I said about talking about self-help. This is what it's about. It's about self-help. So we throw this out at you, and it's primarily your choice to make. And if you're not comfortable with making that decision, then if you have a doctor or something like that, then you go talk to them or somebody in your family or something like that. But we never tell you. We're not supposed to tell you what to do. That's not what it's all about. It's about talking about what happened to you and amongst a whole bunch of other people with very similar experiences and hoping that by talking about it, which does work, I know from my statement about from the very first time I went in and I talked to somebody, really talked to it to the level that I talk about it now, was a huge relief. You know, huge, huge. Like I just got a ton of rocks off my shoulder out of a bag. It was so much relief just being able to talk about that. Okay. I think you're getting a general idea about what a facilitator's role is. But I do, like I say, we're here to do is just to guide you through this process, the structured process, which we have here at the house. And I know other organizations have very, very similar programs like we have. That whether it's worded differently or whatever the case may be, but nevertheless, it's about giving you therapy so you can get over what's happened to you. So it's fantastic. So now you've done, whether you're a man or a woman, and you've done the first part of the program. Now we offer what we call a core program or a phase two program. And in that phase two program, now we talk about moving on. You've spent this 15, 16 weeks, and you've discovered all these things about yourself. Now, what the hell do I do with it? I have emotions. I'm feeling things I've never felt before. What am I supposed to do with these thoughts? How do I leave them behind, or do I leave them behind? There's all kinds of questions. And this is the beauty about our Phase 2 program, is that we come in here, you come in here, and we talk about these things that are, as I've stated, that you've learned about yourself. And again, it falls back to up to you. It's all about self-help, and it's about what you decide you want to do. But we talk about all this stuff. And primarily, I know what I found key for me is that by just talking about it just eases the pain. But that's another beauty part of it right there. That's a bonus as far as I'm concerned. The more you talk about it, the less it owns you. And that's what I talk about when I have no shame and I don't have the anger. Yes, I'm lying. I still have some anger, but it doesn't own me. Like my shame, I really don't, it doesn't own me that way. But nonetheless, I still need to talk about it, and I'm therapy in progress, as I guess is just a good way to put it. But I'm certainly in a much better place than I was, you know, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, and I'm simply amazed at what I'm doing here. I still can't believe it to a certain degree that I'm sitting here talking about this. And to the level that I am. So the Phase 2 program. More about that. That's the program that Deb and I are doing right now. And we have 8 participants in the group, if I'm correct. And so basically it's a lot more work, as I've said before. And here I'm going to give you one clinical buzzword, which we throw. You know, I've talked about stuckness, for example, about being stuck. So when we talk about stuckness, or in group here, we talk about neuroplasticity. And if you're unfamiliar with neuroplasticity is, Google it and you'll find out. And if you want to learn even more about neuroplasticity, I would suggest you type in through YouTube and type in Dr. Jeffrey Swartz, You Are Not Your Brain, which I've talked about before. And it is a great, he gives some great, this gentleman done years and years of study on this in regards to people with trauma and how it affects you and how it, well, how it, just basically that simple, how it affects you and how a person will react when your core is all damaged to that level that I'm talking about. So he covers it in a much, and actually he's a very good speaker. It's not all clinical what he talks about, although his stasis his studies are all based on clinical studies. So basically, no matter what you do, you can't get away from it. But nevertheless, he's very well spoken. He has lots to, he has lots of great insight, and I would highly recommend it. It's only about a half hour long. So remember, say Dr. Jeffrey Swartz. Go to YouTube, and You Are Not Your Brain. So when I talk about neuroplasticity, that's what I'm talking about, which he has great, great insight. And again, I've seen the video quite a few times, and every time I see it, I learn something new about it. So, but anyway, so that's our phase two program. And in the phase two program, again, like I say, it's co-ed, both men and women. And again, it's all about your voice. And through that 16 weeks, you discover more about yourself and discover things you want to change and how that abuse has affected you and just basically how to deal with it, right? Just what do I do with it now, okay? Yeah, you figured out who you are. And yes, I still have some pain that I'm dealing with, and then I don't know what to do this. I can't seem to stop doing this. Well, that's why we have the phase two, to help you with that. Hopefully define new coping skills so you can get how I guide you along in your path. That's primarily what we try to accomplish. And you know, one thing I haven't said yet too as well, within doing the programs, you can do the programs as much as you want. If you do the phase one program, for example, and you don't feel that you've accomplished much with yourself, you can do it all over again. Remember, coming to the house does not cost you any money. The house is all privately funded through donations and grants, which we apply for constantly all the time to keep the house going. And that's what keeps the house going, because we only, like I've said before, we only have a few employees here, and the rest are all volunteers, like myself. So you need to understand that. So at the same time, I must say as well that the phase two. And it's funny, you know, I'm doing this group here with Dev here now, and we're already into week 7, so we're almost halfway through. We're done by Christmas. And then I'm lucky enough, fortunate enough, I'm going to be doing one with the manager of the gatehouse right in January. So I get to do another program, which will be on Monday nights. And I'm really, really looking forward to it, especially with the manager, because I've never done one with her before. And she's got lots under her belt now. So we've clicked really well. So, excuse me. So it should be a really, really good program as far as what we do and what we have to offer. So I'm really looking forward to that. Again, that'll take us until January, that'll take us pretty much right through until near April. So that will be all right. That'll be good. And hey, I must talk about this. This year, talking about self-help and self-care. Actually, no, I'll leave that to the end. I'm talking about the program, so I kind of got sidetracked there for a second. But yes, phase two. So now you got a general idea what goes on there. So now, we also have another program which we offer, and we have an art therapy program. This is for anybody who's been through phase one and phase two, and it's open to anybody. It is a 12-week program, and Lacey does a wonderful job of doing it. In fact, I want to take it myself sometime. I just don't have the time, but they have that as well. Lacey is a wonderful lady, and she does a wonderful job. And every time she does a group, there's lots of people. Like I'm talking about a group of 10, 12 people. So that's really fantastic. In fact, I'm hoping to get her in the new year again here, now that I've got all my technical difficulties out of the way, because I had a problem with the last time I did an interview, and I only got part of it. So this will not happen the next time that I do, but I'm going to get her back again to talk about it so you have a better understanding of what the art therapy program is about and what they do and the different areas that will help you through your growth of the therapy. So So I was looking forward to talking to her again as well. But now there's another program which we offer as well, and we offer a youth program which we call YAC. And the young individuals are from the ages of 18 to 24. And it's for men and women. We have a men's group, and we have a women's group, and we have a co-ed group. And again, that is a 15-week program as well. And we cover pretty much all the same things as we do for the adults, as we do for the youth. It's just done at a little bit different, just a little differently, only because of the age and their maturity levels and their experiences. So it's only fair we do that. So it's they get it as just as nicely as we do. So, and then there's another thing. We're two other programs which we're going to be starting. Let me talk about the one before that, and it's the partners, which I've talked about lots and lots of times. Now, we have another partners group going to be coming up probably in November. I haven't got a date yet. I'm waiting on Art to give me confirmation. The fact is, myself and Charmaine will be running the partners group. Paula, if she's available, she'll be there as well. And anybody else who from the house will be there as well. But we are going to be doing a program probably in November. And the idea behind the program for the partners is for the non-survivor to come in here, like whether it be your best friend, your spouse, wherever you may be coming from. In fact, as you know, you can come in here by yourself if you wanted to in the partners program. But the partners program is only one day. In fact, as I think we're talking about, we're going to bring it started off at 8 weeks, and I think we're going to bring it back up to at least 2 days. That's going to be totally up to the executive to decide that. But we feel more is needed to talk about it, and there's more, and so it can be so heavy, and I don't think all in one day you can't cover it all. So what we're going to do, what we're talking about doing, is extending it another day. But I know that Art's going to come, and it's going to be basically watching us. I asked him to come. I know we can manage just fine, but I want him to come because he is the creator of the program. He's the one that set it up with Paula. And actually, I can't forget about Jean-Paul and his wife, because they're the first ones, I think, to do it as well. And I certainly can't leave him out of there as well. And I'm leaving out a couple other names. They're the ones that basically put the program together. They're the ones that tried it for the first time and were making it too successful as it is now today. And it's just over a year now, actually 2 years that this has been going on. And it's still very popular. And everybody I see go through it, both men and women I've talked to, I've had a good experience from it. So I highly recommend it for someone in a relationship or non that wants some extra help, so your friend or your spouse or wherever it may be coming from has that kind of opportunity to understand your healing process and what you've gone through to do it. And overall, and understand why you feel like you do. And it goes a long way. Rather, it would be very helpful. I know that if I were get into a relationship again, I'm going to insist that my partner come and do the same thing with me, so that person understands where I'm coming from. So they know if I do have a trigger or something like that, they know I'm not going to do whatever I'm going to do. I'm all right. I just want them to understand at a much greater level so we can have a so-called quality relationship, whatever that may be, which I'm striving for. That's what I want someday, you know. It's only fair. I deserve it, you know. But I want that person to be at a deeper level and understanding where I'm coming from. Don't get me wrong. I'm not a cracked teacup or anything like that, and I don't need fixing. I just want someone to understand where I'm coming from. I'm very, very open and honest. But anyway, enough about me. I'm not talking about me, even though I got a little sidetracked there. But I just want you to understand at a deep level where I'm coming from, so that if you do the program, you'll understand this is what's involved with it. So I need to talk about this just so you understand it, even at the level that I'm talking about. And what else am I forgetting? I can talk about that as far as the partners is concerned. It's a great program, and I've already headed a couple of groups already, and now I'm looking forward, because Art's basically the founder of the Gatehouse, has just passed it off to Charmaine and I, and I'm really looking forward to running the next group with Charmaine. So basically, I can understand Art's been doing it for a long time, and he's still always going to be the pitcher. Just love the guy. Fantastic. He's my guru, as we always say. As I always say, anyway, rather, I should say. But we're looking forward so much to that, and highly encourage any survivors who have been through this, any kind of therapy, and they're with somebody, I would highly recommend that you come and take this for both sides. You'll find it very, very helpful in your growth as in, for your friendship and at all levels. So now, the last two things I want to talk about. We are going to be doing a yoga therapy program starting here. I'm not sure if it's going to be just before Christmas or just after, but we are going to be doing it. It's in the plan now. It's almost all set up, and it will be like a, I'm not completely sure, but if I understand, it's going to be an 8-week program, but I stand corrected on that because I'm not 100% sure. That's going to be fantastic. I'm even considering that too as well. And I'm not sure if it's going to be hot yoga or what type of yoga it is, but it's yoga therapy is what I do understand. And to what level, degree, I'm not too clear on, but the Gatehouse will be offering this come before the new year or just after the new year. And that I'm sure we're going to get lots and lots of reaction and people wanting to do this sort of thing. Because I know that some of the participants that I deal with now are doing yoga as part of their own personal self-care. So it'll be interesting to hear and see what happens with that. Another thing, which is very, very dear to my heart, which I know they're going to be doing come the new year or just after the new year, they will be doing starting a family program. And what I mean by a family program is that you have a family and let's say your children were violated or you were violated, for example, and you're having difficulties in the family because of how your behavior. So, and your family and you have a close and your close family. So what we're going to do is we're going to bring you and your family into the house and we're going to help all of you understand where you're coming from as a survivor to your family member. So I'm really interested to see what that program is going to be all about. And I know for a fact I want to get involved in it at some point just so I have some experience in it and just to see what it's like. Because dealing with a family versus dealing with men and women individually or as a pair is not the same as dealing with children or teenagers, for example, or wherever they may be coming from. It's not at all the same thing. There's so much to consider, so much more to consider, you know? And it is so greatly needed. I'm not aware of anybody doing this right now, whether it's here in Canada or abroad. I'm sure it's possible that it's going on abroad, but I haven't seen it anywhere. And maybe you can through your local psychologist or psychiatrist. It's possible. Or even your therapist. You may have that there. I have no idea, but this is what the Gatehouse is going to be doing come just before the new year or just after the new year. I'd say it's probably going to be in the new year. But the yoga therapy, as I've described in the beginning, which will probably be starting before, I would imagine by November, if I understand correctly, it'll probably be in November. I could be wrong, but somewhere's around there. And I'm going to talk about it a lot more as it unfolds. I know the program is pretty much put in place now. It's just a question of the date to when it will be implemented and where we put the names out for people, or put it out so people can put their names in to come and do it. Same as the family group therapy as well. I'm not too sure when that exactly is going to happen, but it is definitely going to happen. The format of how it's going to be run has pretty much been done, like the yoga as well, and it's just a question of time when you're going to do it. So, do you want to talk too much? Get dry throat, I tell you. So, we have a lot of great things coming up. The house is a busy place, and I know that from the beginning of this year, 2015, to now, for example, which we're almost in 2016, we're not far away, that the amount of people coming into the house has grown and grown and grown. There's probably, I'm guessing from last year, maybe there might be 100 more individuals come through here or more. I also know that we do one-on-ones as well. And I've done tons of them along with Paula. And that is one of the employees here. And she's almost a qualified therapist herself. We've done a lot of one-on-ones with people, plus I'm due all the time. So this house, I bet by the new year, we probably have had 300 people come through the house. That may be a little bit on the I wouldn't say it's a conservative estimate, but I may be a little bit aggressive on that, but I'd say it's pretty close to 300 people coming through this house. That is incredible. Think about it, from a whole year, 300 people coming through this house, men and women. I'm not even talking about the children either. I'm not even including them, the ones that are coming here for the investigation. I can't say anyway too much about that, other than we offer that as well. The police department brings police, CSA, come here, and they do their investigations for any child that's been violated, and they bring them here. All of the GTA does that, but parts of it, certain detachments, they bring the children here to do the investigation. If you go to our website, excuse me, www.thegatehouse.org, and you will see that what the house looks like. And it's not an institution. It looks like an institution. I know we've talked a little bit about that. I've talked a little bit about that, but it's not an institution. It doesn't even look like, when you come inside the house, it's just full of teddy bears, and it's very, 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 you know, pleasant coming in here. You know, granted, there's an awful lot of bad crap that's been said from people, what's been done to people, but I'd say there's more good coming out of here than the bad that's come in. And the beautiful thing is about watching people come in here and doing the groups and see them in such a bad place, like myself too. And then by the time your 16 weeks is done, you're just a totally different person. And, you know, and it's so wonderful to see that, and how people transform, like myself, as again, like if I may mention, people are transforming before my eyes, and it's incredible, just incredible. No better feeling. It's hard to describe how good a feeling that is to see that, you know. And you know, I come in here, and I'm just basically, I come in. I don't have to really do a whole lot of preparation as far as coming in here is concerned. I like to just, I'm in here, and I want to be here. It's necessary. It's needed in society. And I'm basically just tired of not being able to, I was tired of not being able to talk about it. Now I talk about it to such great levels that either you'll tell me to shut up or you'll move on. But, I'm always so happy and grateful to be here and what the house has to offer. And it keeps growing and growing. And I do believe that we are outgrowing the house, and that's what's happening. That's what I talked about. I talked about a shift or a change. That's basically what's happened, is the house is growing. Awareness is at a far greater level than I ever even thought about, not just from what I've done, but other people have done. You know, it's being talked about more, and more people are coming out of the closet and dealing with this instead of leaving it buried in the past. And once I've seen come out and deal with it, it's amazing watching them, how they've transformed into you know, what they were, or rather what they were, and rather what they didn't want to be, and to what they're becoming. So it's so, so important to keep this push on, and I'm going to keep pushing like a crazy, crazy fool, wanting to get this, wanting this to happen. So that is basically what the Gatehouse is all about and what we've been doing. And furthermore, Gatehouse was founded by Arthur Lockhart in 1998, came here. He had a beautiful vision. If you go onto our website, and you will see a beautiful story, which is written on how this came about and the trials and tribulations he's had to go through just to get this house going. In fact, I'm kind of hoping to interview him in the new year or before the new year, get him to come down here, and we'll talk I'm sure I can talk, I can talk to him for a couple hours, no trouble at all, just about where sexual abuse awareness is going, and about the justice system and how that's changing, and about how the Gatehouse, what he founded here, how the changes it's going through, and actually the growing pains of what's happening now, as I've talked about. The house is growing, like I've said, there's lots of people coming here now, and every year that I've been here, I've seen an increase in numbers coming here. So that must say something, must really say something, that there is a great need, great, great need for this in society. And As far as I'm concerned, there should be more places like this. And I am only too grateful to talk about it. It's the level that I am. So I guess I could basically, I have to say, it's just stay tuned. And there's lots to come up coming up in the new year. The house is going to be doing lots of things. We have, like even tonight, we have four groups in the house here tonight. But think about it, we have four groups. This is a big house too, right? So we've got four groups, and each group, they're with the facilitators, there's going to be anywhere from 8 to 12 people. So think about that, over 40 people in the house here tonight. And two of these groups that are in here tonight are new groups. So there are two more that finished last week. And we have one more finishing next week, and then we have another one starting after that. So basically, for the whole year, we have four groups in here on a Thursday night. We have four groups in here on a Wednesday night. We've had four groups here on a Tuesday night. And on Monday night, usually when I'm doing the group, we have two groups. We have the co-ed program, and we have the art therapy program going on all at the same time. On Wednesdays, we have the YAC group, which is the youth group, which I've talked about as well. And then constantly people coming in here doing one-on-ones between Paul, Maria, Paula, Stephanie, myself, and even a couple others, even Charmaine, for example. We're always doing one-on-ones with people that either we're trying to get them ready to put them in a group, or they're not fit to go into a group, or they don't want to go in a group. It could be any scenario. Nevertheless, that's what's going on. The house is busy, and as much as I might say it's booming, it is booming. But at least I know that there's tons of people out there now that are brave enough to come out and talk about it in a peer level, and are finally getting some help where they've never had help before, and or even they've had tried to get help and they could never find anybody that could actually really truly help them to the level that we do here. And that's the great thing about being here. I'm honored all the time to come here and things and the experiences that I get to experience. And the trust that they've given me to do this stuff, I'm really really honored. Wow, I can't believe it. But okay, folks, I don't think I'm going to talk a whole lot more. I think I've pretty much said what I was going to say. I knew it was going to take about an hour to talk about stuff I've talked about. It's very important for you to understand about what we do here at the house, how it works. And granted, I couldn't go into every fine detail because I'd be here another hour. And how couldn't I have that? Excuse me. But I think you get a basic idea of what we do here, the type of groups we have. And we cover quite a wide range of different things. So, like, if you're in the GTA and you're a victim or a survivor, whatever you want to call it, and you want to get some kind of help, then give us a call. And we might be able to help you. The idea is you come in, we give us a call, you make an appointment, you come in, we do an intake to make sure that we fit your criteria and vice versa. And we go from there. And like I said, our group cycles are every 15 weeks. And it's actually not even 15 weeks. Like every 7 to 8 weeks, we have groups finishing. And then it'd be like the two groups or one group to finishing. So then we bring in another two groups and keep going. That's what it's been like all year, constantly all year. And even last year, 2014, it was very close to that pretty much as well. So it is, as far as people coming out and dealing with it, is at a much greater level than it ever used to be. So that's very encouraging that that's the case, because there's lots of people out there that have not had any help whatsoever at all. Okay, well, folks, I think I've pretty much said my piece. I've been on about an hour. I could probably go a little bit more, but I'm going to try to get a guest in for next week. I'm not too sure, but if not, I'm going to have something really, really structured that I'm going to talk about, something I hope that you get some help out of, but I would need to do some research on what I kind of got in the back of my mind before I start talking about it, so I make sure that I have my facts straight before I talk about it. But nevertheless, I want you to have a good week, safe week, take care of yourself. If I've triggered you in any way, seek out a friend, call 24-hour hotline. If you're in Toronto, the Gershwin Center, 24-hour hotline, something. talk to somebody. You're not alone. And most importantly, take care of yourself. It's all about self-care. Go for a walk. Go for a bike ride. You know, cuddle with your girlfriend or your boyfriend, wherever you're coming from. You know, talk to your friend. Talk to your kids. Do something for yourself. And stay checked in. So, folks, have a great week. Thank you for your time at Personal Transformation through Blog Talk Radio. And like I said, I'm broadcasting live from the Gatehouse, as I do most of the time. But have a great week, and I'll be talking to you next week. So thank you for your time. Good night, and talk to you later. Bye.